Will the Senate come to order? Members, please vote to signify your presence. The roll shows 14 members present. Senators Stevens, Terrio, Wagner, and Wilkin are excused. Please stand for the invocation by the chaplain, Pastor Mike Rose of Juneau Christian Center.
With respect for all Alaskans and their religious beliefs, I offer this prayer today. Heavenly Father, thank you. Praise you for this beautiful day created for your honor and glory. Thank you for your faithfulness, protection, loving kindness, which you have graciously granted to us in abundance. I thank you for the liberties that we enjoy living in this great nation as one nation under God. Help us to protect and preserve these liberties we enjoy and hand them down to future generations. Lord, I pray that your wisdom, understanding, discernment would be ours today. May the senators and their families be blessed with your provision and your protection. Lord, may your kingdom come, your will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. This I pray in your matchless name. Amen.
Senator Hawthorne, would you lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Will the Secretary please certify the journal?
I certify as to the correctness of the journals for the 30th through 34th legislative days.
Madam President, I move and ask unanimous consent that the journals be approved and certified.
Objection, so ordered. Senator Hoffman.
Thank you, Madam President. I move and ask unanimous consent that the prayer be spread on the journal.
Madam Secretary, I move and ask unanimous consent that Senator Cowder be excused from the call of things today, February 19th.
Objection, so ordered. Introduction of guests. Messages from the governor.
There are no messages from the governor this morning, Madam President.
Messages from the House.
Message dated February 14th, stating the House has passed and is transmitting the following for consideration. DS for House Bill number 18, Hess, by the House Health, Education, and Social Services Committee. An act amending the functions and powers of the Alaska Commission on Postsecondary Education and relating to the repayment provisions for medical education and postsecondary degree program participants.
Special Committee on Education, Hess, and Finance.
House Bill number 34 by Representatives Ledoux, Olson, Thomas, Fuke. An act relating to the sales of wine by a winery licensee.
Community and Regional Affairs and Labor and Commerce.
Those are all the messages from the House.
Communication.
The following report has been received, 2006 annual report from Robert Swenson, State Geologist and Acting Director, Division of Geological and Geophysical Surveys, Department of Natural Resources, in accordance with AS 4108030. I have no further communication.
Reports of standing committees?
I have no standing committee report.
Reports of special committees?
I have no special committee report.
Introduction of Senate resolutions.
Senate Concurrent Resolution number 3 by Senators Terrio, Wagner, Wilkin, Dyson, urging the Governor and the Attorney General to expedite the resolution in the courts of the appeal from the decision by the Commissioner of Natural Resources to deny the proposed plans for development of the Point Thompson unit and to terminate the Point Thompson unit.
Judiciary.
I have no further resolutions for introduction.
Introduction of Senate bills.
Senate Bill number 85 by Senator Davis. An act extending the termination date for the State Medical Board and providing for an effective date.
Health, Education, Social Services, and Finance.
Senate Bill number 86 by Senator Davis, an act repealing the minimum expenditure for instruction requirements for public schools.
Special Committee on Education and Finance.
Senate Bill number 87 by Senators Wilikowski, French, Ellis, an act expanding medical assistance coverage for eligible children and pregnant women relating to cost sharing for certain recipients of medical assistance and providing for an effective date.
Health, Education, Social Services and Finance.
Those are all the Senate bills for introduction.
Consideration of the daily calendar.
Senate Concurrent Resolution number 2 by Senators McGuire, Ellis, relating to establishing March 2007 as Brain Injury Awareness Month. The Health, Education, and Social Services Committee considered the resolution. New Zero Fiscal Note. Signing due pass, Senator Davis, Chair, Senators Elson, Thomas, Cowdery, Dyson. The resolution is before the Senate in final passage.
Is there debate? Senator
Babar. Good morning, Madam President. I wouldn't normally speak on a resolution, but often members ask why even do a resolution And so today is a reason I can exemplify why we do it, and sometimes it's to draw awareness to something that Alaskans may not take time out of their busy schedules to focus on. And so the resolution would establish March 2007 as Traumatic Brain Injury Awareness Month. It's the national month, and we have done it here in Alaska ever since I've been in the legislature. Traumatic brain injury is the leading cause of death and disability among children and young adults. Alaska leads the nation per capita. It's a sad statistic that we have. Over 800 TBIs, traumatic brain injuries, are reported annually in Alaska, and an estimated 12,000 Alaskans have suffered a traumatic brain injury. Folks that suffer from it live in our community, are often a tremendous cost to the medical system itself. Certainly there's an emotional and social cost to their family and those around them. And so prevention is one of the things that we try to focus on during this month. Wearing seatbelts, wearing helmets, very controversial subjects to others. But the problem is that when you are in an accident and you hit your head and you do have that permanent injury, the cost to yourself, to your family, and to society is lifelong, and it's permanent. To date, there is no cure for a brain injury. I work on the Traumatic Brain Injury Board, and we have looked at medical science in ways of creating new neural pathways, ways of doing the same things that we did before we had a head injury through different parts of our brain. But to date, there's no way, Madam President, to cure a brain injury, and so it's a permanent injury. The Brain Injury Association of America, as I said before, always recognizes March as the year of Brain Injury Awareness Month, and so this makes Alaska comport with that. I would thank everyone for their consideration and just respectfully ask that rather than just hearing me talk about it today, that you take some time out of the month of March to think about, read about, learn about traumatic brain injury, what it does to the Alaskans in your districts, in your families, how we might prevent it, and how we might continue to treat it here in Alaska. And I'd ask member support. Thank you.
Is there further discussion? You're ready to the question. Question is, shall SCR number 2 pass the Senate on final passage? Have all members voted? Secretary, will I record the vote? Would any senator wish to change their vote? Secretary will tally.
15 yeas, 0 nays.
And so SCR number 2 has passed the Senate on final passage.
Citations. Honoring Carl E. Moses, honoring the Alaska Chamber Chorale, honoring Marvilla R. Davis, honoring the Girl Scouts of America's 95th anniversary, honoring the 10th anniversary of Alaska Jones Act, Local Hire Initiative, in memoriam, Geraldine Ruth Peltola, in memoriam, Frank Stickwan, in memoriam, Arlene Demet Isaac.
Madam President, I move and ask unanimous consent that the citation on today's calendar be approved.
Without objection. Go ahead. Unfinished business? Senator French.
At ease, please. Madam President.
Brief at ease. French.
President, good morning. Under unfinished business, I would move and ask unanimous consent that my name be added as a co-sponsor to Senate Joint Resolution Number 2. It's a resolution dealing with the Washington tax on containers going to Alaska.
And
we'll
add Senator Elton, Senator Wilikowski, Senator Olson, Senator Stedman, Senator Ellis, Kukesh, Dyson, Bundy, and myself, Senator McGuire, Senator Davis, is there further unfinished business? Senator Bundy.
Thank you. I'd like to move and ask unanimous consent that I be excused, not subject to the call for afternoon playing time March 2nd through morning playing time March 5th.
Morning plane time on the 2nd. Without objection, so ordered. Senator Huggins.
Thank you, Madam President. I move and ask unanimous consent of each of the College Senate for morning plane time on the 23rd until evening plane time on the 25th for the purpose of state business.
Objection, so ordered. Senator Kukesh.
Thank you, Madam President. I'd like to move and ask that I be excused and not subject to the call of the Senate on Sunday, February 25th morning, same time, from until plain time p.m. Wednesday evening, February 28th.
Without objection, so ordered. Senator Hoffman.
Thank you, Madam President. Excuse me. I move and ask unanimous consent that I be excused from the call of the Senate for personal business on March 8th and 9th.
March 8th and 9th. Without objection, so ordered. Senator Ellis.
Good morning, Madam President. I move and ask unanimous consent that my name be added as a co-sponsor of Senate Bill 84, self-extinguishing cigarette.
Senator Davis, Senator Dyson, Senator McGuire, Senator Thomas. Further unfinished business? Senator Dyson.
Thank you, Madam President. I ask that my name be added as a co-sponsor on, I believe it's Senate Bill 76. Senator Ellis's bill on scholarships for foster kids, 76. Thank
okay.
you.
Without objection, so ordered. Brief, please. Senator Huggins.
Move and ask unanimous consent that we go back up the calendar to introduction of guests.
Introduction of guests.
Gives me a great deal of pleasure, Madam President. I noticed somebody sitting in the gallery behind me that I didn't know, and went back and introduced myself and found out that we have a guest from San Diego. Suzanne Gordon, who often watches us on the internet because her daughter is Liz Clark, the Senate Secretary of Staff. If anybody could help me welcome Suzanne Gordon.
Senator Huggins.
Madam President, I move and ask unanimous consent that Senator Green be excused from 23rd p.m. plain time to 26 a.m. state business. Again on February the 28th, evening plain time, March the 1st, a.m. plain
time. Without objection, so ordered. Senator Olson.
Thank you, Madam President. I move and ask unanimous consent that I be excused and not subject to the call of the Senate on March 9th on state business.
Without objection, so ordered. Senator Stedman.
Thank you, Madam President. I move and ask unanimous consent that I be excused from a call to the Senate from p.m. plain time Friday, March 2nd, to a.m. plain time Monday, March 12th, for state business.
Objection, so ordered. Is there further unfinished business? Announcements? Senator Olson.
Thank you, Madam President. I want to just announce that the Community and Regional Affairs Committee meeting that was scheduled for February 20th has been canceled because of scheduling difficulties with the RCA.
Senator Huggins.
This afternoon, 3:30, Senate Resources Committee discussing more ideas.
Further announcements? Special orders. Senator Ellis.
Thank you, Madam President. Good morning. I move and ask unanimous consent that I be granted the special privilege of the floor to discuss empty plates in the Great Land.
On empty plates in the Great Land.
Thank you, Madam President. It was a week ago that I went down to the local soup kitchen here in Juneau, the Glory Hole, and heard a report from food banks and food pantries and soup kitchens from around the state and received their report, Empty Plates in the Great Land. And the subtitle is very interesting to me. It says, Alaska Leaves Millions in Federal Nutrition Dollars Unclaimed. That got my attention, and I guess the purpose of my brief remarks today are to recommend to each and every one of you that you spend just a few minutes looking at this very excellent report. It has the logo of the Food Bank of Alaska. I'm sure it's on your desks or reading files. It's worth a look. And what they got across to me were just some very basic facts that I'd like to share with the body today. State and nonprofit agencies provide food for an estimated 83,000 different people annually from our state population of 655,000. That's about 1 in 8 Alaskans. The food stamp program, the largest federal food resource, reaches only 59% of the Alaskans who are eligible. Most eligible but non-participating people are unaware of their eligibility or deterred by the complex application process. That means, Madam President, that there's $29 million of our federal tax dollars that could come back from Washington, D.C. to Alaskans to feed people, children and seniors in particular, but also to go through our local grocery stores. Those are monies that our local businesses could be making use of, but we leave $29 million on the table. At least a third of clients receiving assistance from the Charitable Food Network report choosing between paying for food and paying for utilities or heating fuel, which means that 24,000 Alaska children, approximately, pretty good number though, and 8,400 seniors in Alaska go hungry every day. And in a land of plenty like ours, like the United States of America and Alaska, that really should be unacceptable to all of us. It is an economic issue. It's an education issue. It cuts across many different concerns that we have because, of course, if a child is hungry, that child is very hard to pass the test that we require them to pass. Madam President, I want to brag on Fairbanks and the Matsu here for a moment to let you know that school lunch programs are required. The school breakfast program is not a requirement, but many schools have decided to go ahead and offer breakfast to those children who come in early before school to get them ready to learn. The municipality of Anchorage, my home community, has a pretty mediocre track record in terms of participating schools. We have 41 participating schools, 34 non-participating schools in the school breakfast program. That means that there are 3,248 low-income children at non-participating schools. Matsu has 30 participating schools, only one non-participating school. So that means there are 94 low-income kids in Matsu that aren't participating in school breakfast. But that's a very, very good record. Fairbanks has an excellent record, 29 participating schools, no non-participating schools. So there are no low-income children that go hungry in Fairbanks for breakfast before the school day starts. Kenai Peninsula Borough has 13 participating schools, 20 non-participating schools. Juneau, zero participating schools, 10 non-participating schools. So Juneau has some work to do. And the state total is 256 participating schools, 146 non-participating schools in school breakfast. So there are 10,154 low-income children at non-participating schools across the state. We're concerned about educational achievement, and that's a place where we could encourage local school districts to do more with the resources we provide. Again, Madam President, it's a very good report. I hope people will take a moment to look it over. There are a number of recommendations here, some things that cost money, some things that don't cost money, that just require more collaboration. And I hope people will take a look. Thank you.
Thank you, Sir. Are there further special orders?
Madam President, I move that the Senate adjourn to 11 a.m.
The Senate is adjourned.